Luke chapter 19. Thank you. It's a great privilege. I think you'll be refusing, but it's good to have a man I considered my pastor when I was at Bethel Baptist Church, our brother Power and the wife. It's good to have you among us. I saw them at the wedding yesterday, but they took off before we did. It's good to have you among us. The Gideons, great work, and we continue to pray for the Lord to bless the ministry of the word as it is placed in the hands of men and women, boys and girls, to salvation. Luke 19, verse 41 to 44. Luke 19, verse 41 to 44. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone up another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. When he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. It will tear you down to the ground, and you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone up another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Other versions say you did not recognize, you did not realize. Do not miss the time of your visitation. Do not miss the time of your visitation. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for our visitors. We thank you for each and every one of them. And we ask that you who directed them to this place, you may bless them together with us. We thank you for the work of the Gideons. We do plead that continue to cause it to thrive, that the word, even as their prayer and request to us to pray for them, is that it may reach all parts of the earth, China and Russia, places that are still not reached in that regard yet. We pray that we will pray for them, that we will support them financially and in all areas of their calling to us to support them. We pray that the men that are qualified to join the Gideons in good standing in their Christian and local churches, that they will join to cause the ministry of the word. Father, what can be above the ministry of the word? All we do is because your word commands us to do them, implicitly or explicitly. So we commend these men to you, that you'd use them as professionals, as businessmen, as Christians, to spread your word. Thank you for the notices. Think of the Easter program. We pray that we will invite, that we will pray for the adverts on radio. That men and women will look at what has been displayed and will read and will come, that will be involved. We pray, our God, for all that was given to us and written on the notice schedule. We ask that you would be with us. Bless now the preaching of your word to each one of us. Grant, O God, that those that do not know you, they may not fall under that lament of our Savior. That they will not fall under the judgment prophecy of our Savior. That they will not fall under that team that will not acknowledge or recognize the gracious visitation of God. Call to yourself. Plead, our Father, cause your word to accomplish what you will send it for. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This Sunday is referred to on the religious calendar as the Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is celebrated on the triumphal entry when men and women, the disciples, prayed on the path that the Savior was treading. And it is understood that some of those leaves were palm leaves. And it is in that context I would like us to focus on that statement recorded only in Luke. The triumphal entry is in all the Gospels except verse 41 to verse 44. Only Luke records that material. In verse 41, Luke continued to describe Jesus approaching Jerusalem, his city of destiny. We are told, as we read earlier, that as he came to a certain point, the disciples prayed on his path, the glorious things that they did. And that some were disappointed and said to Jesus, "Stop this," in today's language, "stop the nonsense." And Jesus says to them, "If I stopped it, guess who will be raised to praise me? The stones." Verse 35, "And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the court, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mountain of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." The evangelists do not tell us, John does, that this was immediately after the healing or the bringing to life of Lazarus. And that work was one of the great works they were celebrating. So he's come to this place, but now he's at the entrance. And when he drew near, he saw the city. They say that he probably was on an elevated position and is looking down on Jerusalem, and he weeps because of the sin of the people in that city, the very headquarters of religion. And he weeps because they have not recognized, they've not realized who's visiting, they've missed an opportunity for peace. And he laments. And so he tells us, saying to them, in his mournful voice, in his solemn voice, probably tears are running along his cheeks, he says to them, it is, verse 41, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. And then there are the consequences you will pay for this. Verse 44, "And tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone up another in you, because Jerusalem, you did not recognize, you did not realize, you did not know the time of your visitation." Considering those verses, three observations I'd like us to make as we think of the coming of our Savior, but during this period, the dying on Palm Sunday, going towards that destiny. The first of the observations is the fate of sinners who refused to recognize God's time of grace broke Jesus' heart. The fate of sinners who refused to recognize God's time of grace broke the heart of God. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Two places in the Gospels, Jesus is recorded weeping. The one was at the death of his friend. The second one is this one. And he's weeping Because they have rejected the one that has come. The threat of sinners who refuse to recognize God's time of grace broke the heart of Jesus. Jesus wept because he saw the city in the light of its refusal of his gracious offer of salvation. He cries over Jerusalem because Jerusalem has refused to acknowledge the Savior. Notice that this is the only place in the gospel besides John 11:35 where we read that Jesus wept or showed such intense emotion. If you remember, in our considering the Beatitudes, we did indicate that not only must we mourn for our sins, but that we must mourn for the sins of others, and that Jesus is a model of mourning for other people's sins. And here is that particular illustration. He wept. Why? Because Jerusalem has refused to believe. The fate of sinners who rejected God's grace broke the Savior's heart. Jeremiah also wept over the fate of Jerusalem, the fate of sinners who rejected God's call to salvation. Jeremiah 15 verse 5, who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Who will grieve for you? Who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward, so I have stretched out my hand against you and destroyed you. I am weary of relenting. Why is Jeremiah weeping? Because Jerusalem has rejected God, has gone backwards. They continue to drift further and further from God. He wept because he knew the consequences of such an act. The refusal to acknowledge times of God's grace attract God's judgment. They will be met with God's judgment ultimately. And that's what Jesus tells us. That's what Jeremiah also tells us. But in our text, read with me verse 42 to verse 44. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, for salvation. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. He wept because he knew the consequences. Beloved, those of our families, those of our friends, those who are our neighbors, if they don't know Christ, their end is tragic. If you hear you do not know Christ, he weeps for you because he knows the consequences. Jesus sheds his tears for you. Surely you'd want to take that seriously. Surely you can't live life as usual. Come Lord's Day in, come Lord's Day out, come Bible study, prayer meeting, youth meetings, ladies meeting. The word is preached, but you go home the same. The Savior weeps for you because the consequences are tragic. He wept because he knew the consequence of such an act. The refusal to acknowledge times of God's grace attracted God's judgment. The city was going to be visited in judgment since it had rejected his peaceful, gracious, glorious visit. Verse 44, tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because Because you, Jerusalem, did not acknowledge the time of your visitation. He wept because he felt pity over the unbelieving inhabitants of the city. The fate of sinners who refuse to recognize God's time of grace must not only break God's heart, it must break our hearts. Must not only affect the Savior, it must affect you if you are not saved. One Roman Catholic song I remember that is sung in many a funeral and to a greater degree theologically right is simply this: Mwilandilila ine mweba nabandi. Mwilandilila mwebe. Cry for yourself because you will pay the consequences. He wept. When he comes back, he's weeping no more. He's coming to pass judgment. Will you take his tears for granted? Secondly, observe the tragedy of the people then and now. Those who refuse to recognize God's visitation of grace through the gift and work of God's Son. Notice the tragedy, the calamity. As in one television program, the catastrophe. It's catastrophic. And say, if you, even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Because you've refused, you will be decimated. You will be destroyed. You will be thrashed to the ground. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Here's what will happen to you. They will dash you to the ground. And the Lord is giving it in such graphic language that they understand the danger and the calamity they'll find themselves in. They will dash you to the ground. Imagine a human being being lifted up, thrown to the ground, lifted up again. Thrown to the ground. It was a video that circulated about the xenophobia in South Africa. I looked at it and immediately stopped. Here are human beings, somebody's on the ground, and they're giving this person more metal bars on the head until the person lies dead. Imagine that's the picture. They would dash you to the ground, not because you are innocent. They suffered in South Africa. But because you brought it upon yourself, not just you, not just you as a father, not just you as a mother, not just you as a grandparent, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. The whole city will be destroyed because you can avert this, you can prevent this, you can escape this, because the reason this is coming is because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. It's Palm Sunday today. And one of the events that took place was the statement and the symbolism of the Savior coming to visit Jerusalem. The Prince of Peace has come. The King of Kings that they adore. The Savior of the world is entering while others are worshiping him. Others are offended. He weeps for them. Visitation here has a favorable sense, referring to a time when God draws near, not in judgment, but in mercy. There are references in the Bible when you read about God's visitation, it's in judgment. This is in grace. This is to give peace. This is to give his mercy. Look at the text. Verse 41, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. I am come and I've told you before, all I've done are the things, my preaching, my proclamation, my rebukes, my warnings, my miracles, all that I do are pointing to this one fact. I bring peace. Only you and even you, if only you had known. And Jesus is saying, my coming is coming to bestow favor, to give grace, to give mercy, which you've not recognized. What Jesus meant in these verses was that if the people had only known then, that day, if only the people had acknowledged, if only the people had recognized, that would result in peace. It will result in salvation for them. They could have experienced peace and not judgment. Jesus had already stated to them who he was and what he was offering to them. But in his final days on the Sunday we call Palm Sunday, he wept because the people continued to refuse to accept him. In chapter 4 of Luke and verse 16 to 19, here is what we read. Chapter 4 of Luke, verse 16 to 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He is entering Jerusalem with this message. They've refused. How many times, my dear brother, my dear sister, have you heard that Jesus saves? How many times have you heard flee from your sin? How many times have you heard stop your adultery? How many times have you heard stop lying? How many times have you heard stop stealing? How many times have you said stop gossiping? How many times have you heard, but you've refused? Jesus weeps. Acceptance of him and the inauguration of the kingdom would bring peace. That is salvation to the city of peace. It is interesting that Jerusalem, the city of peace, refuses the very offer of peace. Isn't it ironic that in the very place where God offers salvation every Lord's Day, church walls, people in those buildings among Christians refuse to look to Christ in repentance and be saved. However, they did not realize the consequences of their decision. God had withheld that insight from them because they were bent on rejecting Jesus. When you read in the text, he kept this away from you. Your thinking is immediately, you see, God must be blamed. If he had not held it from them, they would have believed. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Why? Chapter 11, verse 49 to 51, Jesus tells us why. Chapter 11, 49 to 51 of Luke. Therefore, also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. From Abel, Genesis, anyone who stood to proclaim the gospel, they have rejected. Not only have they rejected, they have killed. They have repeatedly rejected. And God in judgment sets them doomed on their path. Luke chapter 13, 34, 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Luke 13, 34, 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stoned those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as the hen gathers a brood under her wings, and you would not come. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what he's doing. They've refused. In the context, this is what was being proclaimed when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, but the people led by the priest were instead offended and wanted the proclamation stopped. Verse 39, here's what we read in verse 39 of Luke chapter 19. Let's pick up at verse 38, saying, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd say to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Let them stop. They are probably thinking blasphemy. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out to me. And then we are introduced to, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept. Zechariah had announced this chapter, had announced this text. I think it's in chapter 1, 76, 79, in Luke. Zechariah said, this is the child who will be born. He is going to bring about peace. Through observation, I said, the first one, the fate of sinners who refused to recognize God's time of grace broke Jesus' heart. The opposite of that can be true. Acknowledge Christ. Not only will you make the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit celebrate, the whole heavenly host will celebrate. Or will celebrate with them. You can, as it were, put a smile on God's face and looking to his Son. The tragedy can be avoided. The tragedy of the people then and now is a refusal to recognize God's visitation of grace through the gift and work of God the Son, whose work we're remembering on Palm Sunday in that glorious entrance into Jerusalem. Thirdly, or the third observation, the impending consequence of a refusal to acknowledge God's times of visitation of grace. Alluded to this simply to emphasize it. Judgment. 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 The context of our passage, the enemies turned out to be the Roman soldiers and the Roman government under Titus, who besieged Jerusalem, as Jesus described, broke through its walls and finally leveled it to the ground. And they acknowledge AD 70, but the period is from AD 66. Go in history. Jerusalem was destroyed. They paid the price. Beloved, there is an assurance. Just in case you doubt in God's faithfulness in judgment, he told Jerusalem you'll be destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. He has announced you will come again and you come to judge. He will come to judge. Unless you look to him, you will pay for your disobedience and stubbornness. Please repent of your sin. You know what it is. Please repent. Don't give excuses for it. Notice again that the reason for its destruction was his failure to realize the Messiah's visit and his offer of salvation. Listen to what God says through his prophet Ezekiel. Say to them, that is Ezekiel 33 verse 11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn back. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Oh, let's contextualize this by over-application. Say to the members gathered on the 1413 Dollar Baptist Church, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of any among you. But that you would turn from your wicked ways and live. Please turn back. Please turn from your evil ways, please turn to Christ. Turn for your salvation. You will die. Please turn. Beloved, do not procrastinate. Do not postpone. When it comes to the appropriation and application of the message of the gospel, do not reschedule the turning away from sin and by faith the receiving of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please do not reschedule. Come to Christ today. Please run. Such postponing can prove fatal and will prove fatal if that's your major. God through Paul puts it this way. As God's fellow worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Turn. The fate of a people that refuse to recognize the day of visitation broke the Savior's heart. It's a tragic thing to continuously refuse to look to Christ for salvation. What awaits you, anyone that is not in Christ, are the impending consequences of your refusal. There are things which preeminently are to do with your eternal peace. The period apportioned for you to attend to them is definite and brief. As you read that text, Jesus is implying when he says you did not recognize the day of your visitation, he's basically saying it's past. You forfeited that time. You will not be forever be alive and be exposed to the grace of God. It will come to an end. Please run while Jesus is still calling. Should your day close and leave you unsaved, your guilt will be great and your condition without remedy. It is appointed unto every man to die once. Just as Christ died once for our sins, it is appointed for everyone to die once thereafter. Judgment. Please run. You say you are a Christian, but you're living a wishy-washy Christian life. Please change your ways. He may visit you in chastisement. He may visit you in discipline. Please make things right. Let me conclude with three real life stories. One story of a young lady that I was talking to in the recent past, who in our discussion at some point, she got to the bottle and the parents didn't know that she was drinking. On this particular time, she traveled from one town and came home, but before she got home, some friends got her and they went drinking. And as people do when you are drunk, you want to pretend that everything is okay. The more you pretend, the more evident it becomes. So this young lady is collected by the father, who has always thought this is an angel, who has always thought my daughter can do this. So the father picks her up. The father phoned to pick her up at 20. She told the father, no, I'm still on the way. But she was in town at 17. She was drinking. 21, she phones and says, now I've arrived. So the father picks up and noticed that she was drunk. And the following day, when the father was talking to her, he cried. And the daughter was saying to me, from that day I resolved, I'll never live that life again. And asked why my father cried. Jesus weeps for you. Not just your father. Jesus cries for you. Surely won't you change? Won't you? One minister gave this testimony. I heard the other day of a bad boy whom his father had often rebuked and chastened, but the lad grew worse. One day he had been stealing, and his father felt deeply humiliated. He talked to the boy, but his warning made no impression. And when he saw his child, so Carlos, the good man, sat down in his chair and burst out crying as if his heart would break. The boy stood very indifferent for a time, but at last, as he saw the tears falling on the floor and heard his father sobbing, he cried, "Father, don't. Father, don't do that. Why do you cry? What do you cry for, Father?" "Ah, my boy," he said, "I cannot help thinking what will become of you. Growing up as you are, you will be a lost man, and the thought of it breaks my heart." "Oh, Father," he said, "pray don't cry. I will be better. Only don't cry and I will not vex you again." Under God, that was the means of breaking down the boy's love of evil, and hope it led to his salvation. Just that is Christ to you. Just that is Christ to you. That is what Jesus is doing. He cannot bear to see you die. And he weeps over you, saying, "How often would I have blessed you, and you would not." Oh, by the tears of Jesus wept over you, in effect, when you wept over Jerusalem, please turn. Please turn. The last illustration, real one also. Dr. Talmage tells of a dire story of a woman who died without making things right with God. God forbid that any of you should at the last have the dismay of the Scottish woman of whom I was reading. One night she could not sleep because of her soul's wandering from Christ. She got up and wrote in her diary, "One year from now, I will attend to the matters of my soul." She retired, but could not sleep. So she arose again and wrote a better promise in her diary. "One month from now, I will attend to the matters of my soul." She retired again, but found no sleep, and arose again and wrote, "Next week, I will attend to the matters of my soul." Then she slept soundly. The middle of the week, the next day, she went into scenes of gaiety. The following day, she was sick. And the middle of the next week, she died. Delirium lifted from her mind just long enough for her to say, "I am weak, too late. I am lost." Or to be a year too late, a month too late, a week too late, or a day too late, or a minute, beloved, too late, or a second too late, is to be forever too late. May God Almighty, by His grace, keep us from the wild, awful, crushing catastrophe of a ruined soul. Do not miss God's time of visitation. Let's pray. Father, we plead that none among us will be in that position of that Scottish woman that missed eternity because of postponing, because of rescheduling matters of the soul. May we, for it will be any better, be that young lady, that the tears of the Father were the turning point. May the tears of our Savior be the turning point of some among us. May our God, like that lad, that boy, who was a thief and would not change, not even for a moment, but for the tears of the Father, God used them to turn him to you. May the tears of your Son turn us to yourself. Father, we plead, save. May you grant that we recognize the day of visitation. The moment we have is today. Please save. In Jesus' name.